Well, good morning and greetings to you, each of you. I was thinking 8 people left me know they wouldn't be here this morning. I thought it'd be just 2 or 3 of us. I'm glad to see each of you. This is vacation time, the regulars. But we are delighted to have guests with us, and James and Mary Jane Thomas with us from South Williamsport. Greetings, folk. Announcements I want to give before we start our worship service for this week of June the 29th through July the 5th. And I like to make notes concerning July a little bit because it's reported as the 7th month of the year, that it's the hottest month. And it is the time of month of the most abundant life. The insects, already some of you have acquainted with the 17-year locusts, how noisy they are. And so July is a hot and a noisy month with all kinds of insects and outside. I have a little saying here from Sarah Coleridge. Now, I don't know who Sarah Coleridge was or is, but she made this little statement about July I think is good. She says, "Hot July brings cooling showers, apricots, and gillyflowers." Now, gillyflowers are wallflowers. And I thought, well, two things. Showers, and we sing many times, "Showers of blessing, Lord," we plead. And a gillyflower is what we would refer to as, and I looked it up, wallflowers. Now, they are flowers that do best where they have a stone background or a house, and they don't get too tall, and they're beautiful, and they're a spring flower. And I thought spiritually, we lean upon the Lord, but let's show forth the Lord Jesus. I take from Sarah's little statement that hot July brings cooling showers, apricots, and gillyflowers. And apricots are most delicious as far as I'm concerned, too. And speaking of flowers, I do want to mention to you that they came from South Williamsport. It's gladiolus and baby breath. And thank you, Peggy and Bob. We believe flowers, by natural theology, does enhance the worship of the Lord. We don't worship them, though. Now, tonight at 7 o'clock, after we have request time, that means you pick the hymns. Brother Raymond Rook, he refers to him as a Bible teacher. He called and said he was hoping to bring some study about heaven. And I tell you, if you think you know a lot about heaven, well, maybe you don't need to come, but I look forward to that study. And then on Wednesday, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting, and the Lord willing, we'll be continuing our study of Colossians. It will be in Colossians 1:20, having to do with reconciliation. I'll talk more about Colossians in a moment. And then I hope that you have a family time on the 4th. And if you would like, congratulate my wife for living with me 51 years today. And you say, well, hey, listen, we're all sinners saved by grace. And when two people get connected, you know, they're sinners. And we haven't had any real problems. God's been good to us. But just don't forget that. You get married, you marry another sinner, whether I trust you marry sinners saved by grace, but when you put two sinners together, there will be some problems. And but thankfully, we haven't had many problems, but this is our 51st. I bring that to your attention, and grateful to my wife. So with the announcements, let's now enter into worship, and I would like to share this verse, opening scripture verse for worship. I think that it would be a blessing to you if you listen to this just quickly. For it says about our Lord Jesus that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That we're speaking about the Lord Jesus. And that's our subject this morning, about the Lord Jesus. That all fullness dwells in him or abides in him. And so let's sing hymn number 565. Before thy people I confess, 565. Have prayer. Our Father, as we have sung this hymn, we ask that it may be real in our lives this morning. We're grateful for your care for us, especially spiritually, that you have proclaimed to us the way, the truth, and the life through preaching. And we have, by thy Spirit, come to believe and put our trust and faith and reliance upon Christ's work at Calvary. And our Father, we are saved. May it be that of each of us this morning, however we are cognizant, that it may not be so. And so we pray for friends and loved ones, that they might know what it means to have faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so we pray for your working of thy Spirit in our midst this morning, and grateful for what you've done for us in the past. Our Father, we ask that the word may be precious to us in the singing of the hymns, that we might sing with understanding, and that you would be pleased in our worship. As we are frail and we need your help, we have circumstances, we have our own particular problems, we have our church problems and situations, and we ask for your care and your blessing. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and we're praying for liberty for each of us, and that we might realize what it means to be brethren and love one another and overlook situations, for we know this, that the love overlooks situations and sins. And so, our Father, we pray that collectively we might be able to enter into worship, and our Lord Jesus Christ receive preeminence and glory in the service, for we do pray it in His name. Amen. Will you sing with me, Anywhere with Jesus? 680.
Yeah.
Now the disciples asked the Lord how that they might pray, and he gave this outline prayer, and it's called the Lord's Prayer. And I believe it's nice that you know it in different ways, not just repeating it or going over it quietly and with meditation, but I think it's nice to be able to sing this. And you know what, friends? It's a blessing to go down the road, I find, and to sing the Lord's Prayer as we drive down the road, and I'd like to encourage you to consider that. And so to help you do such a feat, I'd like you to turn to the insert in front of the hymn book, if you can find one. They sometimes get in another one. Pick up another hymn book, and you have the Lord's Prayer by music. And I think God uses this. So will you sing with me the Lord's Prayer? Precious hymn, if you know that the Lord expects that we have also the fullness of Christ as Christians. And so 696 is applicable. We're not to be dismayed, whatever betides. 696. I'd like us this morning to stand and read the Word of God in honor of the Word. We're in that passage in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. And I want to spend some time on verse 19 concerning that in Christ is all fullness. But this is a most precious passage about our Lord Jesus and how we ought to give Him all supremacy that we have. And so will you join with me in reading, starting at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. This is God's holy word, and may it be precious to us in His name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, we've sung, God will take care of you, and that's individual, basically. Now, let's sing a hymn about the Lord and the church. It's number 278, Jesus with Thy Church Abide, 278. Now, if you will, you'll turn to the Colossians chapter 1 and like to consider this fullness, all fullness that dwells in Christ, all fullness. (Clears throat) We've been in this book of Colossians for a while, and you're cognizant of that, I'm sure, but this is this verse 19, to me, it's overwhelming. It really is. When you think about our Lord Jesus, and it says here in the inspiration of the Word of God that it pleased the Father. He delighted in this. The Father delighting in something. For it pleases or delighted the Father that in Him, that is in Christ, all fullness dwell. Should all fullness dwell in Him. Now it's speaking about His mediatorship. I understand that. But hey, listen. I want you to get the picture this morning. This is about the greatness of Christ. And I want you to try to settle down and think about that. There's just nowhere or no one that you could ever turn to be anything like this verse 19 says. Where would you look for anyone that has all the fullness of the Father dwelling in him? Can you see the glory of God in Christ? You know, friends, I sometimes feel disheartened when I see that we kind of consider Christ as, well, maybe as a good buddy, you know, somebody that can help me out. As if I have trouble, I'll call upon him and maybe he'll bail me out of my problems, and which he is concerned about our problems. But it's speaking about the deity of Christ and the full deity of Christ. In fact, if you look at the second chapter, verse 9, just to keep your thoughts concerning this dwelling of the Lord in Christ, that he is God in the flesh. For verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it's not more or less. Perhaps he is not quite as, has all the characteristics of God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. He has all of them. And so don't put him in an area and say, well, you know, God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, the Father, well, he said, I'm delighted, I'm pleased that in him is all the fullness. Don't be afraid to talk about the Lord Jesus and give some adoration, glory to him. Because there's just a, you know, you don't need to take any of the supplements. There's just no deficiency in Christ. You in this life, some of you know what it is to have to take some supplements, some vitamins. But you don't need to take any other supplements. You have enough in Christ. For all the fullness dwells in him. I think that's good. But you see, the reason for this passage is that this little church at Colossae, and they're having some problems. And Epaphras, the preacher, says he was a faithful minister of the Lord. Look at verse 7 quickly. This minister, he wanted to talk to Paul about some problems in the church at Colossae. He said, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. And so Epaphras, he went all that distance and to meet with Paul, and Paul's in Roman prison. And he tells him, he said, you know, this, you know, I heard the gospel, when you were at, on your first missionary journey, and God saved me, and I've been praying, and the Lord's blessed me, and we have a little house church, and that's what it is. And I tried to prove that to you. And so he said, but things are going fine, people are saved, they love the Lord. And he said, I just thought I'd tell you, we got some problems, like most churches have some problems, because we're in the flesh, aren't we? The old nature's still around. Did you know that? You say, well, I know the Lord. Yeah, I do. I know you do. We all know the Lord if we have put our faith in him. But we have still problems with the old nature. And so the old nature was these people were saying they were being convinced by. And you know, this is so up to date. No matter where you turn, if you find some nice guy, now it's getting to be women, some nice person that has the Bible and they speak nice and they look nice and they talk to you about some things, they say, oh, that's so good. But you know something, friends? You know, that's just the plan of the enemy to sneak up onto you and give you a situation like this. Say, this is just a wonderful person. And it says that in the last days, these false prophets will creep in. And that's what's going on. And it's these folk at Colossae were saying, hey, look, it's one thing to know the Lord. It's great. But I tell you what, and they had this matter, this word fullness. That word fullness is still around town. It's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to have all the fullness, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we believe in that. But they use it, go further, as the evidence that you really are a Christian, you must speak in tongues and gifts and so forth. And these people, they were being told all these things, and they were being told Gnosticism, which is an intellectual philosophy. And they said, if you really want fullness, you need more than Christ. And Epaphras says, I don't know how to handle this. But I know one that can help me, and that's the prophet, the Apostle Paul. And he said, I'm going to go see him and talk to him. And Paul is answering by letter to this little church. And he's saying, you know that word all fullness is... That's in your vocabulary there in that church. And he said, I want to tell you something. You want to talk about all fullness. You keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying in verse 19. You keep your eyes on Christ. He's emphasizing this again and again. And then they had some problems with Hebrew legalist. These were former Jewish people. And they were saying, yeah, we think Jesus is all right. We think he can be saved. But don't forget, you need to do the old legal things of the Old Testament, circumcision and these feast days. You can't drop all those. You need them too. And Paul's saying, listen, by the Spirit of God, he said, I'm telling you, it's the delight of the Father, the pleasure of the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. You have Christ, you have all that is sufficient. And that is something some of us need to get in our hearts. Because there's a lot of do this, do. Now, there is a place of obedience. If you know the Lord, it says your duty is you're to be baptized. And there are things like that you need to do. But to not as for salvation, but for obedience. Somehow people get that mixed up. We have on the TV... program, a company outfit, and they have some good music too, but they just hammer on the commandments, and I do believe that they've not been done away with. The ceremonial and civil law has, but not the commandments. But they just stress it and stress it. It's Saturday, and they just hammer on this. They're having what is called the Ten Commandment weekend, and just hammer on these things, and it's not right. The commandments are not going to save you. It's a matter of obedience and obey the Lord and ask the Lord to help you. You can't do it. But listen, when the Lord Jesus said, it cried on the cross, it's finished. It's finished. What in the world did he mean that it's finished? It's at the end. As far as legalism and doing something to be saved, it's finished. I have done the work. All fullness has been accomplished. Brethren, if you could get that, it would help you a great deal. When you hear people saying this and that, and you ought to do this and you ought to do that, and you say, listen, it's at the end. You know, it's the end of the room. Just go so far, go to that wall, bam, it's the end of that. That's the end there of that wall, for that wall. You say, well, what am I going to do anymore? This is Christ, is all the fullness of the Godhead is in him. Hey, brethren, if you want our service to hear on, we need to hear that Jesus is. For all the fullness of God is in him. Everybody believes in God for the most part. But we want to know about this Lord Jesus Christ. Let's hear about him. All fullness is in him. The whole Godhead bodily is in him. My brother, if he could say, oh, how I love Jesus. Yeah, well, the fire escape, that's basically it, isn't it? No, it's not it. Paul fell in love with this church. That's good, isn't it? He heard about him. He said, boy, these people know the Lord. He said, I'm just so grateful. And he writes this letter to him. It's a love letter. He said, I'm so grateful. And we spent time in the first part of this chapter 1. He said, I heard your faith and your love in verse 3. And he tells them, it's just so wonderful to hear about you folk. And he said, I want you to know I want to pray for you. Thank you for your preacher. And he says he has prayer for them. And then he begins to tell them that as he's given thanks unto the Father in verse 12 about this being transferred from the old kingdom to the new kingdom of light, he starts talking and he says, I'm praying for you, and I want you to see something. I want you to see the supremacy of Jesus Christ, the Lord. I want you to see that. I want you to see that all preeminence is to be given to him. Well, it sounds like you're promoting Jesus only doctrine. No, I promote God the Father, God the Son, God the Father planned it all, supervised it, arranged it all, and in the great scheme of salvation, our Lord Jesus came and he died in our place, took our sins, shed his blood. It's God doing this, and the Holy Spirit is implementing and comforting us. I believe in a triune God, not just Jesus only, but I want you to know if I want to preach on Jesus, I'm going to touch all the characteristics about the God of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Anyway, he said, you don't need any more angelic help. They got off in the ends with worshiping angels. Say, well, that's one thing to have Christ, but it's to have angels help you. And they do minister to the saints. I understand that. But they're making a big deal about angelology. Is there a big deal about angelology today on the TV? There's a movie or something about an angels? I hear it all the time if you would turn the radio TV on. If you don't do any listening. So we got a problem with angelology. He said, you don't need the angels. You have Christ. All fullness is in Christ. Rely upon Christ, not your guardian angel. And if God gives a guardian angel, I'm grateful for that. I'll tell you that, brethren. But listen, don't be praying to the angels and praying to Mary and someone else to make intercession for you. He's one mediator between Christ, God, and man. It's a man, Christ Jesus. All fullness of God the head is in him. Brethren, we got to get these things straight. Christology needs to be taught properly. And so I want to hang in here for a little bit this morning. I tell the sinners, those of you here this morning don't know the Lord Jesus, if you haven't received his salvation in fullness, you're in trouble. You're in real trouble. You want to see a picture of Christ? Be a good place to probably put it right here. Well, I think he's that real soft-looking person, long hair hippie. You know, he just, such a sweet person. You turn to Revelation 19, and you decide whether you're going to go that route or not. Look at Revelation 19. I want to start in verse 12. Get this picture of Christ. Will you please? Let's talk about him like he's portrayed here by the Word of God. All right, verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To whom is this referring to? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's using symbolism for you to understand how he is. Can you see in this, as by way of symbolic teaching, that there he is, that his righteousness as a judge, and there's a warfare. You see on him all the glory that's upon him, and see the fact of the blood, and he's referred to as the Logos of God, the Word of God. And it says, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, which is the Word of God, which is the Word of God that you're hearing this morning. And with it, it'll smite nations or peoples. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the wine press of the fierceness and the wrath of God. If you don't know Christ, the wrath of God's on you, my dear friends. This is a Savior I want to talk about for a little bit this morning. That's where all the saving fullness is in a person like this. And I know He's loving. I understand that. I'd like to talk to you about the love of Christ, and I hope we will on it shortly when it comes to reconciliation here. But it's good news for us Christians because John, that was John was on Patmos, that island, when he saw the Lord. And John, Revelation 19, that was the great apostle Paul, the loving apostle. He said, this is how I saw the Lord. So do we have any hope for us Christians? You say you have hope for the saved or lost, but how about for the saved? There's hope here for us. You know, the only thing it is, as Christians, we many times we live by evasions. We use all kind of excuses. Yeah, we do. We make up all kind of excuses. I can't. Yeah, that's beyond me. We talked about gillyflowers, wallflowers. I think that many of us are gillyflowers. We stand by the wall. We don't get out. And as we're supposed to be citizens of heaven and ambassadors here, speaking forth of the King, and we stand by the wall. We're wallflowers. No, that's not to be. Even though it's whether it's hot, but the Lord will send showers. Nice, cool showers. Well, he said, I can't. And we use that a lot. I can't do it. I can't really be fruitful, Christian. My situation is, the way my home is, my marriage or something, I can't do it. I can't be a holy person. I really can't be content. I know the old nature has a dominating effect, but we're supposed to have a new nature. And brethren, if we can't, and it's true we can't, but Christ can. And I'm talking about the fullness of a Christ that can help us and bring about these things that I keep saying, I can't do it. I can't. I can't witness for Jesus. I can't speak up for Jesus. Brother, I want to commend you. A person across the street asked him to come over and they want to talk to him. He said, would you pray for us? He said, yes, let's pray right now. Brother, I love you for doing it. That's the way to do it. Pray for them right away. Neighbors across the street. What an opportunity. Gillyflowers. Come on, wallflowers. I can't, yes, but can. Jesus Christ the Lord can. And if you have His fullness, the Bible speaks about it in... turn there. It's very close. If you're in Colossians, go to Ephesians. You say, where does it say about fullness of Christ in me? Well, it's in the third chapter of Ephesians. And I'm not on this subject, but this is a great subject, I'll tell you that, dear friends, that when we look at the passage, notice verse 19. It says praying here, Paul's praying for the church at Ephesus, and to know the love of Christ. And boy, that's a great theme, isn't it? Which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I can't! You can't. I know someone that can, and if you know Him as your Savior, you got to recognize something. Not let the old nature dominate us, and boy, I'm sorry that when we let our old nature dominate us, it's embarrassing. Christ can. Just look up and pray. Help me, Father. By the way, praying. I come to see praying a little more differently as I'm... You know, if the wife says, would you take the garbage out? Do you think I have to go to the garbage pail and say, Lord, help me that I might take this garbage out for my wife? And I better get down on my knees and say, Lord, I need some help to take this garbage out of my wife. You know, if... I understand the Lord, He could just go, you can do it. You don't need to pray to me about those things. It's pray about areas that you cannot do anything about it. If you can do something about it, do it. But there's areas that we can't do anything about it. That's when you call upon Him. I can't do this, Lord. That's right, He says, son, you can't do it, but I can. And so, Father, I'm asking you to help this situation. I need some help in the matter. He said, I'll help you. I think sometimes we pray over little things that we just get up and do it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't pray about everything, let everything be done with prayer. I do think that, that we got to be a little careful that we don't get down to greater things. That my neighbors come to know Christ, my kids come to know Christ, my grandsons, they do profess Christ. Let me just interject something here. And I hope it really works out. Jesse Moses with us this morning, my grandson, and he is headed for Liberty University. Now, Liberty is a Christian school, and I know all the situations, and I'm trusting the Lord will just bless him and use him for the glory of God. You can do it, Jesse. You know Christ, you can do it. Serve the Lord. I tell you, young folk are interested in money, money, money. They're interested in the country. They're not knowing about the ambassadorship of being a Christian and serving the Lord. He's the master. He's the Lord. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the one. We need to give him, all of us, lock, stock, and barrel, spirit, soul, and body. It belongs to him. He purchased us. He redeemed us. I can't. What do you mean you can't? You just don't want to. You want the old nature to rule you, don't you, buddy? Yeah, that's the truth. Well, that's not right. Not right. He'll make you fit. Oh, it's so blessed to know he makes us fit. I was reading that passage in Leviticus because it has to do with some goats, and I have some interest in goats. Those two goats that were brought to Moses and Aaron, and that's a touching account in Leviticus 16 about those goats, those two goats. It goes something like this, without going into detail. They bring them before Aaron and the high priest and Moses there. They bring these two goats, and they have a drawing somehow. Which one's going to be the scapegoat, which one's going to be the sacrifice? And how they did it doesn't make any difference. And I said, okay, this is a lot. He'll be the scapegoat, and this one will be the sacrifice. So let's take care of the first one first. They take him in and Aaron lays his hand upon the head of the goat, and he confesses all the sins of the children of Israel. He confesses them and puts this, all these sins, he lays upon the head of that goat. And while he's praying, someone takes a knife and slits the throat. And as the blood is coming out, they catch the blood. And the goat dies with all the sins of Israel. Goes into the Holy of Holies and puts blood around the horn, the tip of the horns, and so forth. God was pleased to do that. Without the shedding blood, there's no remission. That's all before Christ. Christ took care of all that. You see Christ in all those types. See him there. He's taken all of our sins. He's paid the price at the cross of Calvary. Shed his blood. What about that scapegoat? Oh, that's something. What are you going to do with the other goat? We're going to take him out. And one man who is fit, had to be a fit man, and take him out by a leash and go all the way out into the wilderness. Not to ever be seen again. Who is that fit man? I believe that's the Lord, portraying the Lord. And he's taking hands. By the way, they laid hands upon that scapegoat and prayed the same thing, all their sins upon that scapegoat's head, and took it out over the horizon. And back comes the fit man, comes back. My sins. Oh, all my sins placed upon Christ. He makes us fit. You know, we're talking about fullness. Let me tell you something. Look at us. In ourselves, we're empty. You don't believe that? I have a way of looking at people's faces. I do. I look at your faces. I can tell you whether you're getting something or whether you're thinking about other things. Pretty much so. But if you go downtown, you just look at people's faces. You can see it. You're kidding me. I'm not kidding you. There's a weariness on faces. It seems that it's something of the heart. You say, no, you can't. I can. There's a spirit of discernment. There's an emptiness, the heart. The heart's empty. It doesn't have Christ. And they may have a pocket full of money. They may have checkbook. They may have stocks. They may have good clothes. They may look sharp. They may have carrying baggages and everything. But still an empty heart, an empty face. And the Bible says they're like sheep without a shepherd. It's like the Bible said in other places, like on a merry-go-round. Around and around we go. Around and around we go. Try to reach for a ring, maybe. Get one once in a while. That's a man without Christ. Sheep without a shepherd. I raise sheep. I know how they are. No matter what kind of fence you put up, they're going to find a hole and get out and just take off and wander all over the place. That's the way we are, the Bible says. Oh, we ought to be thankful that He dwells in us. And He says, I'll give you my fullness. I don't understand all that. I'm just grateful for the passage that says that we're to cast all of our care upon Him, for He cares for us. So we're not little lost children. We have help. And so the fullness. What is fullness? Well, I just tried to show you a contrast of emptiness of hearts compared to fullness. If you have the Lord Jesus, what are you a sad sack for? Speak to yourself, preacher. Why are you a sad sack if you have all Christ, the fullness of Christ, and He abides in you? What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? If you have the Lord in your heart, why are you a sad sack? Say, well, that's the way I am. That's my disposition. Come on. Talk to yourself. I know I have to. But the Bible says everything else is vanity. Oh, well, I need to do. You do what? I have to me. You do? The Bible says all is vanity. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. You don't believe that? You're going to die one of these days and they're going to fight over your will. It happens all the time. Say, well, they won't fight because the will's settled. Oh, you kid yourself. Just recently, two times already, they've taken to the law and contesting the will. Talked to a man, he says, has four brothers, and they had settled the estate, and they won't even talk to him. And I knew Dad, and I knew Mom. And they were good Dad and Moms. So what's the point? The point is this. If you get to see that everything is vanity, yeah, what's reality then? Reality is that in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God dwells in Him. Christ is reality. You can talk all you want to. If you have food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But most of us aren't content with just food and raiment. We got to go big shot stuff. Yeah. Let's be honest about it. Oh, but I know this, that in Christ, not in angels, not in some preachers, nor some religious person, but in Christ is where the fullness is. And I like the word dwell here. And the word dwell in this passage in verse 19, that is a word that has making abode, to be at home. It has the idea in the Greek of permanency. What's permanent about the Lord Jesus? The fullness of God is permanent. In His pre-incarnation, in His incarnation, and His time here with us, and His death, resurrection, and sitting in heaven, and the future, the permanency of God's fullness is in Him. He's not going to be like He was originally when we get to heaven. All the fullness of God is in God, in Christ. Well, to abode in Him, I like it. You like phone tag? I don't like phone tag. Man, sometimes he gets three or four calls before he can make any contact. That, to me, just gets to me. But I'll tell you something. The person's at home. It's nice to ring them up and say, oh, hello, how you doing there? The Lord Jesus is at home. You call upon His name. He's there to hear you. You're not going to run around with some phone tag. Oh, what a Savior. I hope you get a higher appreciation of the Lord Jesus than perhaps what you had when you came in here. There's a time element, the past, present, and future. All the fullness of God is in this Savior, the Lord Jesus. And then it says about pleasing the Lord here in verse 17. Isn't that nice? Oh, boy. For it pleased, it delighted the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. You know, friends, where is it, Matthew 3? Let's see if I can recall this. Matthew 3, I'm not sure where it is in Matthew 3 here. Let's look 3:16 in Matthew. You say, well, you know what it is, don't you? Yes, I know what it is, but I want to get you to see it. And how wonderful that the Lord is pleased with the Lord Jesus. Let's look at verse 16, yes. It says about Jesus and his baptism. Jesus, when he was baptized, that is immersed, that's what the word means. He went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descend on him like a dove and lightning upon him. Notice verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, how we ought to be pleased with the Lord Jesus. What the Father is pleased with, we ought to be pleased with. We ought to talk to him more and more, oughtn't we? What a Savior. It pleased the Father to bruise him, do you know that? For our sins and for our sakes. It pleased the Father to bruise him. God did it all. I tell you. Worthy is the Lamb. That's speaking about the Christ, our Lord Jesus. The Bible speaks about all others are broken cisterns. You don't know what a cistern is. You're too sophisticated. It's water from the roof. Put in a little well. There you have it. For watering the plants. Broken cisterns. What cisterns? What good are they? They're all broken. They don't hold any water. But not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that all authority has been given to him. You say, well, all the fullness dwells in him. Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about all authority has been given to him in heaven and in earth. And all power has been given to him. Man, what kind of Savior you have? And it says that we can call upon him. You know, since we were there, let's go to John 18, verse 36. I got a few more minutes. All the fullness of God is in Christ. John 18. Look at that verse 36. Yes. Jesus answered. He's talking to Pilate now, you know. Answering Pilate. And he said to them, Pilate, he said, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Where's his kingdom from? From glory. Oh, brethren, I don't know if you want to take it or not, but if you know the Lord Jesus, you better check out to see whether if your kingdom, which kingdom are you going to serve? He says, my kingdom is not a kingdom to fight, to pray. Well, I don't understand what you're talking about. No, I guess you don't. But somehow or other, this generation of Christians believe you ought to take up arms and fight and fight and fight and battle and battle. Yeah, we are to fight spiritual battle by prayer. That's our job. We're to represent heaven, not to represent this kingdom. Oh, well, preacher, you don't know. I do know. I was from there. I've been there, done that. Were you in a service? No, but I want to tell you something. My dedication was so strong, I wanted to get in there. And what were you telling me that for? Because I know what it's all about. But I know that we're changed. We're in a different kingdom. And our kingdom needs to be upon Christ and not this world. Oh, I don't know. That seems extreme to me. Well, maybe you need to look at it a little more too. You know, just because you think that's the way it is what the Bible teaches. Oh, but all authority's been given to him. The power over sin, Lord, that's just encouraging. The power to save, oh, that's wonderful about the Lord Jesus. And we sung it this morning. He give us comfort for every trial. You know, you sang about him. He's in any word of Jesus. And he comfort us under every trial. It says that about our sickness, about the money situations, about poverty. He talks about all those things. His kingdom is above all others, the Bible speaks about. And by the way, are you worried about the old devil winning out? No. No, he's not going to win out. He's been defeated. You know, it's funny how we are. If you turn on the radio, and you turn them on, I know you do. You turn on TV, a religious TV, and you hear about the signs of the times. And the Bible teaches about signs. Oh, yeah. And everybody gets wound up about sign by Israel. Oh, wow, you see how it is. It's just like it says in the Bible. And listen, the truth of the matter is, what you need to be emphasizing is that Jesus Christ is coming. That's more important than you spending all your time talking about these prophecies and how you understand it. Just preach that Christ is coming. As you see these things, He's coming. Let's get it in our heads. He's coming. Are you ready to meet Him? And by the way, I'm going to have to give an account, and you're going to have to give an account too. You say, well, I know the Lord. I know. God's people are going to have to give an account for their work too. Not for salvation, but for obedience. What a Savior. What is Jesus to you? Huh? I brought along a little statement by a man by the name of Sprocket. Sorry, I can't give his last name, but I'll quote him to you. And he says it like this. Listen to this. What's Jesus to you? Here's what he says. He says, we like to put Jesus in a little box, thinking that we have him all figured out. Now, I know all about Jesus. Do you know all about Jesus, the Lord? But he says, yet Jesus is bigger than our thoughts, bigger than our imaginations, bigger than our conceptions. I'm afraid that it is our desire to make Jesus understandable. We've made him smaller than he really is. He is not just a prophet. He's not just our buddy in heaven. He's not just a good example for us to follow. He is not just one path to God among many. No, he says, he is the very image of God. He is the fullness of God dwells in him. He's the creator of the universe. He's the head of the church. He's the Lord of the Christian. He's the only way in which we can be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He created us in the beginning, and he guides us in the present, and he will resurrect us in the future. That's too much. What a wonderful Savior. I hope this morning that if you haven't, that you'll turn from your sins and believe in him and trust him, and that you receive that peace that passes all understanding. See, I don't know what happened to me, but I have a different view upon that, because all the fullness of God dwells in him. There is a hymn. It may not be real familiar with us, friends, but I think we can sing it anyway. It's number 455. It's entitled Searcher of Hearts. 455.
Hear our prayer.
Now let this closing prayer of the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus suffice us. And it says this: For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Please be seated. Yes. Indeed, such a beautiful closing hymn. And that is, Savior, again in thy dear name we raise with one accord our parting hymn of praise. I wonder if you have any word of praise, or you have a word of encouragement, or maybe a question having to do with the subject of Christology this morning. Perhaps you have a thought or a question would you like to share? Yes, fine. And we're going to get into that, Rick, the Lord willing. Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good word. It's the worshiping of angels, angelotry. Yes. Yes.
I think this is a profound statement here.
Huh? Hey, I'm going to tell you right straight. It's so overwhelming once you get into it. You say, you know, you see a preacher, you can't touch that. So overwhelming verses, that passage. You ought to probably read it again so it gets part of us. Yes. Well, blessings of the Lord be upon you. Amen.